All right, everybody. That might be at the end.
Got me all nervous, bro.
Short sermon.
Yeah, I thank the Lord too for all the blessings He's given me.
Amen.
I know I was praying that God would give me the wife that was perfect for me. All Adi was praying was for me. That's what she got. But I prayed for the perfect wife, and that's what the Lord gave me. The Lord really is the best matchmaker. And
yes,
He is. He's just, we barely knew each other, even though she didn't like me when we were kids, I guess. But I mean, just fit perfect. Fit so perfect. I mean, also with our co-workers, John and Karen, just we're together. We enjoy each other's company, and I mean, God did a wonderful work.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to share in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, and I take this message, I believe it applies personally to every one of us. It applies to us as a local church, and it applies to the whole body of Christ, the church in general. Chapter 17, I'm going to start from verse 14. Christ is praying. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know, Christ makes it very clear we're not of the world.
Yeah.
Isn't that clear? He makes it clear. I mean, he says in 6:14, he says, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In 16, he says it again, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That is clear. And I don't think that's hard to see. Any one of us can see we don't belong here. I mean, isn't it true sometimes your coworkers say, hey, come to party. Let's go drink. And you say, no, I don't drink. They say, hey, look at that woman. You say, no, I'll look the other way. I don't care about looking at that woman. And they say, why not? Why don't you drink? Why don't you steal from your boss? Why don't you look at these women? And they say, does your religion forbid you? You know, some people think, yeah, that's normal. They're forbidden, so they don't do it. But we say, no. We don't have a religion. They don't forbid us. They say, why do you do it? Well, because we want to please God.
Amen.
Now, is that weird to them or what? They think, what? Are you crazy? You don't do all these fun things. You don't do all these crazy things, these things that we do because you want to please God. You're weird. You don't belong here. We don't belong here. And we have a hope. I mean, we're looking forward, and we're looking to something we have so much better than anything we can see here.
Right.
We have something incredible. We are not of this world. We're not. We have a hope. We have something to live for. We have something we want to see so badly. We're not of this world. And you know what? Most of us probably want to go on. We want to see God. We want to see Christ. I cannot wait till the day I see Christ and can hug Him.
Amen.
And thank Him for everything He's done.
Amen.
In person, I want to see Him. I want to be in that place.
Yeah.
I want to go. And I'm not of this world. But the question I have every time I read this, I'm not of the world, I'm asking myself, why am I here? You said I'm not from this world, I'm not from here. Then why am I here? What am I doing here? You said I'm not of this world. So the question is, why am I here? I believe the church, personally, everybody, has three main purposes. First purpose, main purpose, is to glorify God. That's our purpose. We need to glorify God in this church. While we're here, we need to praise God.
Amen.
With our mouth. We need to praise God with our lives. We need to praise God in our body, in our spirit, in our mind. We need to praise God. We need to glorify Him. Because that's one of the purposes we have, one of the main purposes, probably the main purpose that we have, is to glorify God. The second main purpose is to grow. We need to edify one another. We need to grow spiritually as a person and as a church. Like a child grows up, we should grow up. We should start out drinking milk, but we should grow up to be able to eat meat and teach others. We need to grow. But the main message, another main purpose that we have is the one Christ shows here. And it's the one I want to talk about. Main purpose is to evangelize and to make believers. He gives a reason, 21, at the end. He says, all of this that he's talking about, he says, that the world may believe.
Amen.
That is our purpose. That is my purpose. You know, I'm tired of using an excuse saying, we've got interest in Mexico. I have a lot of talks. We have talks all the time. We're talking to people. Yes, we are. You know, we even have studies. We have a lot of studies. We have visitors. We have talks. But I'm getting to the point where I'm using that as an excuse to say, you know, I'm satisfied with that. If that's all I ever do, then that's fine. And I mean, if it is really all we ever do is tell people about the gospel and nobody ever believes, okay, fine. But I'm tired of using that as an excuse. Because that is not my purpose. I am not just there in Mexico to tell people and to get them a little interested. I want to be like Paul where he says, I am made all things to all men that I might by all means gain, save some. That's my purpose. I want to make them and to cause them to believe.
Amen.
To trust God, to get saved. That's my purpose. I want to see people saved.
Right.
I want them to believe. I don't want it just to be enough that they listened, that they heard for a while, and then they went away and never believed. I want them to believe. That's my purpose. Just them hearing, that's not enough for me. And I say that because not because I think God's not doing something. I say that because I think I really could do more. I think I should have this mindset that Paul had to persuade them of being saved. So I want to talk about three requirements that we have in order to fulfill our purpose. Three requirements. First, you have this purpose to make believers, to give the gospel, to spread the gospel to all the world and to make believers. And the first requirement, the first thing that is completely necessary is what we were talking about. We must be in the world. How could we make believers, give the gospel, teach people, talk to them about God if we're not in the world? So that's what he says, 15 and 18. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. He prayed not that we should be taken out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He says in 18, he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. Yep. To complete our purpose, to fulfill our purpose, we must be in the world. We must be sent into the world. We must be have a participating act in other people's lives. We must be talking to people. And I say this because too many Christians, too many of us, want to hide. I think that's true. We want to hide. And we're not supposed to be a hidden people. Christ says we should let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. They should see the light because we should give it to them. We shouldn't be hidden, and too many Christians want to hide. How many of us really want to hide when we pray for our food? How many? I mean, I know, I've done it. We want to hide. We really don't want to be a light shining all the time. Sometimes we want to hide. But we need to be in the world. If you're hiding, the answer to what Christians should do is not, we shouldn't get all gathered up, all the Christians go out into some wilderness and live together and never tell anybody, never come into contact with the world. That is not the answer. Because we need to be in the world. We are the hope of the world.
Amen.
We need to be here. We are light. We need to spread it. You know, I'm tired of the sects that say they have hidden doctrine. I'm telling you, some of the brothers in Mexico have gotten all confused wanting to see these hidden secrets, these hidden doctrines that the Bible has, that these people know. And I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
Christians should not have anything hidden. Christians should show what they are, should give light, because we're sent into the world. We are a light of the world. And if we are not in the world, if we are not participating, talking to people, evangelizing, then we're a ship out of water. What good is a ship out of water? A ship has a purpose, and if it's not in water, it's no use. Well, a Christian has a purpose, and if he's not in the world, if he's not giving and spreading the gospel, he is useless, like a ship out of water. How will we persuade people if we don't come into contact with them? I mean, this is sometimes we say, you know, oh, I'm scared of hanging out too much with the world because then I might fall into sin, and we say this because we don't want to get too close or something, but that's not the answer. The answer isn't go separate yourself and never talk to people. If you're not in the world, you're a ship out of water. That's simple. Ship is useful when it's in water. So we have to be spreading the gospel. We have to come in and talk contact. We have to be in the world. We have to talk to people. We have to evangelize.
Yes.
Because we're a ship. We have to be in the water. We're Christians. We have to be in the world if we want to be able to fulfill our purpose to evangelize. But another thing that's necessary, we need to be in the world. A ship needs to be in the water. But we need to leave the world out. What good is a ship full of water? You know what happens when a ship fills up with water? It sinks. Well, that's what happens to a Christian when he fills up the world.
That's right.
He sinks. We can't fulfill this purpose if we're full of sin. if we're full of the world. I mean, God says, James, he tells us, y'all are adulterers and adulteresses. Don't you know? The friendship with the world and of the world, it makes you enemy of God. But a problem that Christians have is they get filled up with the world. It's hard to not be filled with the world because the truth is there's a lot of pressure. I mean, a boat in water has a lot of pressure. Imagine a submarine underwater has a lot of pressure. And that pressure, that water wants to get in. And that's how the world is with us. The world wants to get in. And we have to do something to block it, to keep it out. We're going to have to put some effort into it because if we think we can just walk along not putting out any effort, we are going to get full of water and we're going to sink. We're not going to be able to fulfill our purpose. Make sure you don't have holes in your boat. Fill up those holes. Fix that boat. Because if you are in the world, you have to be waterproof. Don't let it get in. Because it'll sink you. How big of a hole does it take for water to come in and sink a ship? Not a big hole. I mean, a hole, very small, give it enough time, it'll sink a ship. Sometimes we think our sin, we can play around with it, it's a little thing. Give it enough time and it'll sink your ship. You have to be careful, you have to fix, repair constantly your ship. Your vessel, the church, we have to be careful, the world wants to get in. It would be bad enough if it was just the pressure, right? Just the pressure wanting to get in. But the truth is, there's also an enemy, and he wants to get in. He wants to put holes in your ship so that the water will fill it up so that it'll sink you. So we have to be extra careful. We have to do more repairs. We have to be busy fixing. We have to be busy watching over how the world wants to get into us. We have to prepare ourselves because if we're full of sin, we are not useful to God. We're going to be sunk in our sin. And isn't that what Christ wants? I mean, Paul tells Timothy, you need to purge yourself from these things so that you can be meet for the Master's use. But some of us haven't purged ourselves. We're still so full of the world. God is saying, I cannot use you. You have an enemy, you have a lot of pressure, the world wants to get in, and it can sink your boat, can sink your ship. You have to be in the water, but you have to leave the water out. Basic, simple, reasonable logic. But another one, he says, in the last verse we read, 21, says that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe. Have you ever seen a ship just with its parts all over the place, not put together? It's not a ship anymore. They're just a bunch of parts. You know, the church should function as a body. It should move smoothly. It should go where it wants to go. It should function as a body put together. If a boat is just parts everywhere, then it ain't going to work. If it's got the parts in the wrong place, it ain't going to work right. Well, the same way with our church, same way with us. We have to be together. We have to be one, united, be put together, assembled in the right spot. Some we just start fighting each other, devouring each other because we want certain spots or who knows what our problems are. We're not together. And I'm telling you, a church that is not together, that is not united, can't get its purpose done. That's right. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read 1 through 5. It says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem another better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The unity, Paul says, y'all should be like-minded. Have one desire. Be all like-minded.
Yeah.
What if our problem is not enough of us are interested in getting the gospel out? You know, some people are, but the other part of the church doesn't.
Right.
And I'm telling you, that body ain't going to function right. What if we all got excited about doing something? Everybody, not just some of us, not almost everybody. What if everybody was one-minded, like-minded, had a desire to get people saved?
Amen.
A true desire, like Paul's desire. If everybody had that desire, I think we would change the world. We would change the cities we're in. The people we know, we would change them because we would all be like-minded.
Amen.
Have the same one desire, one mind, like Christ. Not fighting each other, not trying to tear up our church that we already have, but all of us unanimously trying to build the church. Maybe we lack unity. He says, the same love. What if the church lacks love? Where we are all, just all of us, have love. Forgiveness. Forgiveness, like Christ forgave us. We can forgive others. Yes, there's a lot of problems in the church. There might be a lot of brothers having some arguments, disputes, whatever. But I'm telling you, we need to be more lovable. Love one another. Esteem one another more, higher than himself. I think this would change maybe our ministries. Maybe co-workers should be a little more united. You know, John says, hey, I think we should try this. And I might be like, maybe do it half-heartedly. I wonder if it would change if we both did it. Everything we had a like mind, one desire to do it.
Amen.
Maybe that would make a difference. I don't know, but I think this is something we need, is unity.
Amen.
And to think our unity should be a representation of the unity God has with Christ. What you do in your church, the way you act with one another, should represent how Christ did the will of the Father and loved the Father. And the Father, He loved the Son and glorified the Son. Why can't we represent, show that love, that unity in our church?
Yeah. Amen.
Maybe this would change what we're doing. The church has three purposes, and I think in some way, this is like a cycle. If we grow, maybe God's just waiting for us to grow. For us to learn how to be united, have unity, and love each other. And then maybe that will provoke others to believe. And maybe that will make it more glorious than it already is.
Yeah.
It's like a circle. A cycle. The more glory it is, the more we want to grow. The more we want to grow, the more we grow spiritually, the more souls we might win. The more souls we win, the more we're going to glorify Christ. And the more we glorify Christ, the more we're going to want to grow. And it just keeps going and going. But I think sometimes we just get comfortable with the way it is.
Amen.
I preach. I share. I do what I have to do. And I come home. I had a talk. Is that enough? Is it enough that they were a little interested? No, it's not enough for me anymore. I'm going to do everything I can. All that is in me so that some might be saved.
Amen.
It's not enough. Not anymore. I think we have a purpose. I have a purpose. And that is to make believers. To convince, to persuade with everything I've got.
Amen.
And we need to be in the world. But we need to leave the world out.
Amen.
We need to be put together, united, as one, that they might believe.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.